You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Father, I thank you for the Path to Purpose group. I thank you for every single member of the group. I thank you for those that are listening to this broadcast live there in the group. And I thank you for those that are going to be listening to the recording and are going to be listening to it on the podcast. I thank you that they are here by divine appointment. In fact, they are here on the earth by divine appointment. And I thank you, Father, that you planned in advance a good life for them, an abundant life for them, a purpose-filled life for them, where, Father, they would glorify you as they manifest the fullness of who you created them to be. I thank you, Father, that living authentically as who you designed them to be is the greatest thrill and the greatest honor and the greatest fulfillment of our life. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit has been placed in us, that the Holy Spirit is always with us to lead us and guide us into the truth of who we are in Christ, and who we are by divine design. And so, Father, as we dive into this new series, Father, I pray that you would be the teacher. I pray that you would think through my mind, that you would speak through my lips, and that, Father, there would be profound revelation that comes forth for each and every listener. Father, I pray that they would wake up to the reality of their full inheritance in Christ, and that, Father, they would walk in it and experience it as they abide in you. Father, I pray that they would experience their union with you to a greater degree, that they would be delivered from fear and from doubt and from anything and everything, Father, that would cause them to identify themselves in an old identity or as someone that you do not see them as. And I just thank you that this is an upgrade. This is time for breakthrough. It is time for us to step into the fullness of what it means to manifest sonship and what it means to fulfill our full potential in Christ. I thank you that we are designed for great works. We're designed for supernatural works. We're designed to do the same things and even greater things than you did, Jesus. And I just declare, Father, that we're in agreement. We're in agreement with the truth. We're in agreement with who we are in you. We are and who we are created to be. And we are in agreement with our destiny, Father. I just release dreams. I release destinies, Father. I release visions. And I release strategy, Father, to get people in alignment with your agenda and on the path to true success that you have ordained for them personally. And I just release all of this to you, knowing that by your grace, you're going to do that and more, because you always do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, all that we pray, all that we dare to dream, according to the power that works in us, which is the Holy Spirit. So I just thank you for it, Father. I call it all done, and we declare it so. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, awesome, you guys. Welcome to the new series. I'm calling this one The Path to True Success. And I feel like it's a really good segue from the topic that we just wrapped up last week, which was, you know, called impervious to pressure, right? Becoming impervious to pressure. And so really, I think that this is a super aligned topic with that one, because so much of the pressure that we find ourselves under on just a daily basis, whether that's pressure to time, whether that's pressure to finances, whether that is pressure to circumstances or things going on in our relationships or in our life that vie for our attention and vie for our time and our energy. Father, I thank you that, you know, really becoming a person that can be impervious to that pressure and keep our eyes on you and follow you as we step into the things that you have called us to do and the purpose and the plans that you have for our life is really, really important. And I think that a lot of us many times get caught in a version of our lives that isn't necessarily fully aligned with the one that you have planned for us. And it can be really confusing. It can be frustrating when we look around at our life and we don't see the fullness of your promises manifesting in our life. And we know that something is missing. We know that we're built for more. We know that there are more things that you have for us. But for whatever reason, we just seem to be stuck in a version of our lives and a version of ourselves that isn't fully aligned with who you've created us to be. And I know that it's frustrating because I've been there. And, you know, and a lot of times I think I take for granted that you guys know my story. And a lot of you probably do know my story. But I wanted to hop off and kind of start off this series just kind of as a refresher for that. You know, I look back over the 20 years since I left my corporate position. I did that in 2004. It's now 2024 at the recording of this broadcast. And it has been an adventure, you guys, over the last 20 years to step into really the fullness of what God has created me to be and to do. And it has required faith. It has not always been easy. It has required me to learn to depend on the Father to provide. It has required me to be able to hear the voice of God. It's not optional, really, when you are not relying on the world system. And so I just thought I'd kick it off today, just sharing a little bit about some of the things that I've gone through, some of the things that I've learned along the way. And hopefully I believe that that's really going to help you step on your own path and really take the hand of Jesus and go into the unknown, whatever that might look like and whatever is next for you, so that you can end up in the place that God actually has ordained for you to be, meaning you fulfill your destiny. So before I hop into kind of my own journey into this, I want to share a couple of scriptures, okay? There's one particular one, I guess I would say, in John 4:34. And I'm going to look this up. It's kind of interesting. I just saw this scripture portrayed in The Chosen. I've been watching The Chosen again lately. I just really love that series. I'm so grateful for the work of Dallas Jenkins in that whole series. If you have not watched The Chosen, I really encourage you to do so. I just feel like it just cultivates such a beautiful greater level of intimacy with Jesus when you just realize he was just a person. He was a person just like you and I. Obviously, he was the Son of God. He was much more than just a person, but it just makes Jesus real. You know, it makes him real. It makes it feel like that you can relate to him. And I just love that about that series. But anyway, let's go to this scripture that I just saw on The Chosen. And it's in the context of the woman at the well. I just watched that. That's like the last episode of season one. And it's a really good episode. But anyway, as you know, Jesus goes to the well. He reveals himself as the Messiah to the woman at the well. It was in Samaria. She's a Samaritan. Jews were not they did not talk to Samaritans, and they surely didn't talk to women. So this is a really significant event in Jesus's life, the fact that he revealed himself to the Messiah, as the Messiah to a woman in Samaria. Like, this is just goes against all of the religious norms of the day, all of the cultural norms of the day. And Jesus was just such a rebel against all of those things. And I love that about him. But anyway, after he had that conversation with him, it says, meanwhile, okay, in verse 31, it says in John chapter 4, it says, the disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat something. But he assured them, I have food, nourishment to eat, of which you know nothing and have no idea. Okay, I'm in the Amplified Classic version. So the disciples said to one another, has someone brought him something to eat? In verse 34, Jesus said, my food, my nourishment, is to do the will, the pleasure of him who sent me, and to accomplish and completely finish his work. Okay, so we see here in this scripture that Jesus had a source of nourishment, a source of sustenance, a source of fulfillment that did not come from food. Okay, but guess what? It also didn't come from anything other than the Father. And it came specifically from doing the Father's will and doing the Father's pleasure. And it says here that his source of nourishment, his source of fulfillment, was to accomplish and completely finish the Father's work. Okay, so we all know this about Jesus, but Jesus knew his destiny. He knew where he was going. He knew that he was a sent one, sent here on the earth to go to the cross for the redemption of mankind. He was here to be crucified, to be buried, to rise again, and to redeem the human race and frankly, all of the cosmos, right? God was in Christ reconciling the world, reconciling the cosmos to himself. And so Jesus was very clear about his destiny. about what he was sent here on earth to do. Let's look at another scripture here in John 17, verse 4. And let me look at that one with you as well. In John 17, verse 4, I'm still in the Amplified version. I guess it's fine. Here's what he says. This is Jesus again. He says this, I have glorified you down here on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. Now, in context, this is, you know, Jesus's prayer before he goes to the cross, right? He's in the garden at this point, and he prays for himself. He prays for his disciples, and he actually prays for us in this prayer. It's just a beautiful, beautiful passage of scripture. It's one of my favorite. But here in verse 14, he's basically telling the Father that he glorified the Father a specific way. And he glorified the Father by actually completing the work that the Father had given him to do. Now, I am talking about this in the context of the path to true success. And I can tell you that, like most people, I wasn't always on the path to true success. Like everybody, most everybody, I guess, that's raised here in the United States, right? We all know about the American dream, right? We know that America is the land of opportunity. And there is the way of the world that most of us grow up in, right? We go to school and we learn that pretty much, you know, this is the path, right? You go to school through high school. And then, you know, for most people, the next step is college. For not for everybody. Some people go to trade school. Some people get a job right out of high school. It's not that college is the only path, but that was the path that my parents told me, right? So we're going to go to high school, then we're going to go to college, and then we're going to get a job. I mean, at the end of the day, whether you go to college or not, the goal here is to have a job. Why do you need a job? You need a job because you need some way to support yourself. I mean, unless you're born into wealth and your wealthy parents, you know, give you an inheritance and never expect you to work, which I don't think is very common. Then, I mean, even the royal family is expected to work, right? They're called working royals. So there is a job that we are on this path to get. Why? Because we need a job to feed ourselves. We need a job to support our families, to buy houses, buy cars, buy the food, buy the things that we need in order to live. And I would say that by and large, most people end up in a job or a career or doing something that maybe they're talented at, maybe, or they're not. Sometimes a lot of people can't stand the job that they do, right? But this idea that work and our calling somehow gets separated. And instead of being like Jesus, right, who by the time he was 12 years old, who was debating with the Israelites in the temple, right, and, you know, already saying, I must be about my Father's business, Jesus knew at a very young age that he was a part of the Father's business and that he had a role to play in the Father's business, that his work was aligned with the Father's will, that he had a specific assignment here on earth, and he was studying it and understood the scriptures and all of those things at the age of 12 so well that he could argue with the lawyers and with the Pharisees. And so from a very, very young age, Jesus was thinking about his role on the planet and his role in the Father's business. But I would venture to say that most of us do not grow up with that kind of focus. We usually grow up with parents who also are working jobs and working to make a living. And many times we grow up with parents who don't like their jobs either. But that's what we do. You know, I grew up in a two person working household, right? My mother worked full-time and my father worked full-time. In fact, I was kind of a latchkey kid. I would come home, I had a key around my neck, and I would come home, walk home from school, and let myself in the house, right? So what was normal to me is both parents working at jobs so that they could provide for themselves a lifestyle that, you know, included a house and cars and the basic necessities. And so it was never discussed really, like, what was my purpose? It was more about, you know, make good grades, do your homework, and then go to college and get a degree and then find a career that will, you know, support you. And so that's what I did. You know, I went to college and I ended up choosing my degree, not based on anything other than I was kind of tired of being broke, right? I struggled in college financially, but it was a real sacrifice for my parents to send me to school. And so I just looked around at kind of the things that were fairly easy to me, and I chose business. I chose business and I chose an accounting major. And I actually, believe it or not, out of school, got my accounting degree and then went and got my CPA license. And I was a tax accountant. Okay. Like if you know me at all, you know that that is about as aligned with who I really am as oil and water, right? This was not, I mean, yes, I could do it. Accounting was easy to me for whatever reason. It clicked, the numbers made sense to me and I could do it. But it in no shape, way, or form was a passion. It was not something that I was excited to do. And it, you know, I was excited about, you know, people, the people that I worked with. I made friends at work. I worked for a Jewish accounting firm and I made all the Jewish partners laugh. And so it was entertaining to everyone. But honestly, in my reviews, they would get onto me because I wouldn't sit in my chair long enough, right? Like I was a people person. I was always a people person. And so accounting was not it. I mean, to this day, I mean, on some level, I'm grateful. I mean, God definitely uses it. It goes along with my passion for business. Like there was something in it that was definitely on some level aligned, but it was definitely not what I was called to do. And so, you know, I kind of meandered through my career path. You know, I was a tax accountant for years and then a couple of years. And then I ended up recognizing that, oh, I have a real knack with computers. And so I kind of stepped into the side of the accounting firm where they would install accounting software for small businesses. And I started to learn how to, you know, work on computers, the actual hardware. I could take a computer apart and put it back together again. Like this was in the early like 90s. And so this is when, you know, everybody was starting to really get into computers and stuff. And so I started to recognize that I had a knack for that. And then I got an opportunity to go work for a software company that sold accounting software. And so it seemed like a logical next step, right? And so I actually went in as a trainer for accounting software and I started training people on how to use this accounting software. But pretty soon I got exposed to the people upstairs, all right? And these were the people upstairs that sold really big accounting systems to Fortune 500 companies. And I recognized that they were making a ton of money, like six figures, mid six figures, like, and they were in their early 20s. And so I was like, hey, I'm going to get into that. So I worked at it and finally got into a position of, first of all, I was like a demo girl for these systems, right? Because I knew accounting and I could do the software. And so I became like, you know, the Vanna White for these software demonstrations for these big, you know, dollar software deals that people were doing with Fortune 500 companies. And then eventually I made the switch and became a salesperson and I killed it. I made a lot of money, you guys, selling accounting software. I think the CPA thing worked in my favor. People felt I was qualified to consult with them. And I sold a lot of accounting software to really big companies like Motorola and 7-Eleven and Kohl's and Sears when Sears was around. And I was very successful. And so then eventually I got promoted and I got promoted to a vice president. And I basically ran sales teams. I ran half of the United States actually for this software company. And by my mid-20s, I was very, very successful. I was rolling in the dough, you guys. And by 2000, which is when that, remember, if you remember the dot-com thing that was going on, I ended up taking a position here in Chicago. There was a lot of spiritual things going on in my life, a lot of personal things going on in my life. I had, you know, was in the middle of a divorce. Lots of things had happened. I mean, my professional life was very successful on one hand, but my spiritual life, my personal life, my mental health life, my relational life, there was a lot of things that were in shambles in my life. And so I ended up taking a job, moving to Chicago to open up a division of a software company here. And then eventually went to work for another corporation here called, at the time it was called PeopleSoft, who was then acquired by Oracle. And so my professional career was highly successful into my mid-30s. However, I personally would not have considered myself highly successful. I was financially successful. I was professionally successful. But I was not spiritually successful and I was not mentally or emotionally successful. And I was extremely depressed. I had high levels of anxiety and eventually even got a diagnosis of bipolar disorder, mainly because of the level of torment that I was under. Now, I could also talk about all kinds of stories about the time I was on an airplane and started manifesting demons, right? I mean, I could talk about the depth of spiritual darkness that I was experiencing, and I could spend time, a lot of time talking about that, but it's not the purpose of this particular podcast. So I just want to fast forward a little bit when, you know, I fully surrendered my life to God and I started to get a feel that I was called to something other than corporate success, that I was called actually into ministry. And you guys, this was a shock to me as much as it was to anybody else, right? Because never in my life, frankly, I'd ever even heard of women in ministry. I grew up Southern Baptist. It was all men. I went to a Baptist university. It was all men. So being a woman in ministry, I didn't even have a grid for that, right? But as I began to learn to hear the voice of God, and I began to understand my union with Jesus, and I, you know, got involved with Bill Winston over at Living Word Christian Center and started going to that church and started learning kingdom principles, it became obvious pretty quickly that what I was doing for a career was not what I was called to do for a calling. And so eventually in 2004, Jesus one day said, walk out. I mean, literally walk in and walk out. There's a lot to that story that I could share as well. But the point is that on that day when Jesus told me to walk out, I left my corporate career. I left my cushy paycheck. I left, really left it all. And at the time I was living in downtown Chicago. I had a very beautiful condo, lived on the 30th floor overlooking Lake Michigan and the Gold Coast. And I ended up selling my condo and giving pretty much everything away to go and work in a ministry for Bill Winston. And I did that for about 7 years before I moved to Colorado and started my own ministry, pastored for 8 years, and then back, you know, several years ago was led back here to Chicago. And back, you know, in that journey in 2015 is when I started the Emerge School of Transformation, which is what I do today. And I've been doing that since 2015. So I wanted to give you a little bit of my background, or even remind you of my background, because we're talking about the path to true success. And I'm talking about this long journey that I personally went on to find my calling, to align my livelihood with my life purpose. And I'll tell you, it was a journey. And it's actually a huge motivator for why I do the work that I do today, which is obviously the Emerge School of Transformation. Why? Because it is the one of the most important things in our lives is to know the work that Jesus has called us to do, to know the reason that we are here on planet Earth. And what I have found is that the majority of people don't have a clue. And not only do they not have a clue, but they're not hearing God clearly, and they don't really abide in their true identity in Christ, meaning they are living far below their potential as a supernatural son of God because they are living out of a false identity. And so the work that I do now is really about undoing all that. It's about helping people recognize that they are one with Jesus, that they are truly a son of God, that their potential is the Jesus in them. And as they align with their true identity, well, guess what? God has a specific role for them to play in his business. There is something they are not only called by God to do, but they are anointed by God to do. And ultimately, they will not feel fulfilled until they align their lives with that purpose and with that calling. And I am not saying that knowing your purpose like solves all your problems, but it does set you up for a life that is fulfilling and a life that is supernaturally empowered by the Holy Spirit and a life of impact and influence beyond your wildest imagination. I mean, remember, Jesus picked 12 just ordinary guys, fishermen, tax collectors, I mean, notorious sinners, outcasts, right? He picked 12 normal people to turn the world upside down. He sent them out to do signs and wonders. I mean, he was specifically chose them for a kingdom purpose. And guess what? As a disciple of Jesus right now, you too are chosen. You are chosen for a specific purpose and for a specific reason. And there is a vision for your life. There is a destiny for your life that is comprised of supernatural works. And, you know, over the course of this series, what I really want to do is I want to help you align your life not only with that purpose and with that calling, but I want to help you stay on that path successfully and live supernaturally so that you are like the people that we read about in the Bible. God is using you to transform people's lives, using you to transform neighborhoods and cities and solve problems with kingdom wisdoms, problems that you are anointed to solve. And you guys, the dreams in your heart, the things that bother you, these are all clues to what your kingdom purpose is. So let me just go to another scripture that I like to read a lot. It's from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 in the Amplified Classic Version. I just want to remind you of the scripture because it's a really powerful one. And I think it's a really good foundation scripture for this new series. And it says this in Ephesians 2, 10 in the Amplified Classic Version. It says this, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. You know, guys, this is a scripture that is honestly, in my opinion, worth actually even memorizing because it there's so much in it. Okay. First of all, it says this basically. Okay. It says that you were not your idea. Okay. You are God's workmanship. You are his masterpiece. You are his work of art. You are his poem, it says in other translations, meaning that you are a work of God. You have been placed in your body, placed in this earth in, you know, whatever year you were born, right? And alive in 2024, not by accident, right? It is not an accident that you were born when you were born as a male, as a female, where you were born. It may, you know, it may not have been planned by your parents, as is the case in my life story, my natural life story, right? But you are more than your parents' child. You know, Jesus had natural parents. I mean, obviously he was supernaturally conceived by Mary, but Mary and Joseph, he had natural parents. He had a natural lineage. People related to him specifically before his ministry as the son of Mary and Joseph. But Jesus did not identify himself as the son of Mary and Joseph. He recognized that he had a divine inception, a divine conception. And guess what? So did you. You were born by the will of God, not the will of the flesh, it says in John chapter 1. And you have a divine origin. Your origin is in God. And God, when he looks at you, he considers you a masterpiece, one of a kind, rare, and here by his design. And as his masterpiece, his unique one-of-a-kind design, you know, with your fingerprints, with your personality, with your gifts, with your talents, all of those things combined into one, guess what? You were born again in Christ for a purpose. It says for good works in Ephesians 2:10. And so there are works that God has for you to do, just like he did for Jesus. When Jesus said, I glorified the Father by finishing the work he gave me to do. Well, guess what? There is work that God has for you to do as well. And this work is not just natural work. This is supernatural work. Remember, the Father calls work what he did in the beginning when he spoke everything into existence. He said on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And so, beloved, your work is supernatural. Your work is to build the kingdom of heaven on earth in some form or fashion. There is a vision for your life. There is a vision for the things that God has equipped you to do and caused you to have passion for. And beloved, your fulfillment of those things is a key part of the Father's business, just like it was for Jesus. Now, you may not be going to, obviously, we're not going to Calvary. We're not called to die for the human race, but we are called to fulfill the things that God has planned for us. And it says here that he planned these good works. He planned this vision for your life. It says that he predestined it. You know, you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, it says in Ephesians chapter 1. And so this is not like some accident to God, you know, even if it was an accident for your parents, right? You are not an accident in God's kingdom. In Psalm 139, it says that all of the days of your life were written in his book before any of them had taken shape, that he formed us in secret. He formed us in our mother's womb, and he formed us with a purpose. And I will tell you this, that I tell people, if you don't know your purpose, then this is what you do. You make finding your purpose until you know your purpose. It is one of the best decisions that I've ever made and one of the most important decisions that I've ever made. And oh, by the way, I'll just do a plug for my book in case you haven't read it. Let me pull it in over here. Grab it, right? If you have not read The Path, how to journey with God and live your purpose. Well, then I highly recommend that you hop on over to Amazon and you pick up a copy, right? You can also get a free copy if you opt in from my website. So it's a PDF, but a lot of people like a hard copy, but those can be found on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, all the popular book sites. But here's the deal. You know, I'm saying these things, that these things are preordained by God for you. And you know what? Many times they are a surprise to us. However, they also are so aligned with our passions and the things that if we really are honest with ourselves, we really want to do. You know, I remember when the Lord started speaking to me about my call into ministry, and he said that I was an author. He says that I was going to write books. And he started to describe the things that I was going to be involved in. You know, something else that I always loved is I loved the study of the brain. I loved the study of the mind and what, you know, human behavior and what made people tick and why people do the things that they do, right? I loved, and then when I started learning about neuroscience, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so interesting. You know, little did I know that that was like, you know, the key to mind renewal. And little did I know that I would be this mind renewal, you know, so-called expert that would help people supernaturally renew their mind so that they could align with their purpose and align with their calling. But God knew. God knew these things because he preordained them before time began. And I love this. He says that he did it before time began. And then he said he selected paths, that he created paths. He prepared them ahead of time so that you would walk in them and live the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. And here's what I want to say. Like, if you are even listening to this right now, I believe that you even meeting me and knowing about this podcast and knowing about the work that I do was a part of that path. Why? Because my whole role is to help people be transfigured and fully experience the fullness who they are and finish the work that God created them to do. And so here, how cool is that? That God put me in your path to help you finish the work that God has given you to do, to help you discover your calling, to help you hear the voice of God, to help you step into the things that God created you to do, the vision that he has for your life. Because I can tell you this, none of us does it alone, right? I have had spiritual mentors. I have had business mentors. I have had, my goodness, mentor after mentor after mentor in my life that has poured into me and helped equip me to do the thing that I'm called to do. And so I just even want to take, you know, the fact that you're listening to this podcast right now is actually a confirmation that God has prepared paths ahead of time that you should walk in them. And I also want to take it as a confirmation that God has a incredible life, beyond your imagination life, prepared and ready for you to live. I mean, I'm saying that from not only my own experience. I mean, my goodness, 20 years ago when I left corporate, would I have ever imagined the journey that God would have led me down? What led me on? I mean, I had no idea. I mean, gosh, Zoom didn't even exist, right? You know, the internet, all of these things. I mean, there was an internet, but little did I know that I would be like, you know, broadcasting from an office in Elmhurst, Illinois, right? Doing a podcast in a Facebook group that didn't exist, right? Little did I know that I would have an online school called Emerge School of Transformation, that I would write a book called The Path. I had no idea that these were the things, that the works that God had preordained for me. But beloved, I mean, it has been beyond my wildest imagination, and it is absolutely aligned with the most authentic version of who I am. I mean, little grieves me more than seeing people stuck in a version of their life, not living their full potential, living a purposeless life where they're not hearing God, where they're not living out of their true identity, and they're living well below their kingdom means, well below. They're not prospering in the work that God has called them to do. I mean, it grieves me. Really, it really grieves me. It's such an alignment with I want everybody to have and enjoy the things that God has done for me and the things that I now get to, you know, feel so that are so aligned with who I am and my purpose in life, you know. And so many times that is how it works, you guys. The very things that grieve you, the very things that you've overcome, the very things that you're anointed to do is exactly what you end up helping other people with. You know, another example I love to give, this is a ministry example, but I could give, you know, inventions, I could give acting, I could give lots of examples. I have lots of students that do a lot of things. But one of my favorite examples is a guy named Mark Verkler. If you guys know Mark, we used to have him out to the church that I pastored when I pastored in Colorado. And his story about writing the book, Four Keys to Hearing God, is one of the most, I guess it's not funny to him as he walked through it, but it's amazing to me. I'm like, how ironic. The reason that he wrote that book is because he struggled so hard to hear the voice of God. And he ended up spending an entire year saying, this is the problem that is going to be fixed in my life this year. And do you know that that entire book came out of his struggle to be able to hear the voice of God? I mean, it's a very, very powerful book. He has such an incredible ministry, him and his daughter. And I mean, I'd love to have him out to our church in Colorado. But isn't that just like God, to take the very thing that either you struggle with or the very thing that you invested all of your time in, maybe even in the wrong way, and turn it into a purpose? You know, look at the Apostle Paul's example, right? I mean, how qualified was he to be the apostle to the Gentiles because he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, right? I mean, such a legalist, knew the law, was persecuting Christians. And it actually, the very thing that was, you know, the opposite of what his calling was going to be, was the very thing that prepared him to do the thing that he was called to do. And I know it's really easy when you look around your life and say, well, you know what? I don't have anything that's special. I don't have anything that is, you know, would be significant that I could contribute to the kingdom. You know, I'm just a mom. I'm just a housewife. Or, you know, maybe I'm very successful at what I do. And, you know, I feel like this is all I can do. This is it, you know? But I want to tell you that no, you too are a masterpiece. And just because you may not know what the work is that God has created you to do, doesn't mean that you don't have it, right? I'm telling you, there is no way I could have known in and of myself that I would be an author, that I would be a mindset, you know, a Christ-centered mindset coach, that I would be a life purpose coach, a transfiguration coach, that I would have a podcast. Like it was not anywhere in my thinking. Right? I had so many things that had to be renewed. I mean, in every step of the way. I mean, even when I wrote my book, you guys, I mean, I did an inner healing session every single week because I did not have the image, the self-image of an author. But just because I don't think that I'm an author doesn't mean that God did not create me to be one. Just because you think you have, you know, you can't blah, 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 whatever, insert blah, 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 right? Doesn't mean that God thinks that you can't, right? God thinks that you can do what you're called to do. God has built you. God, you are God's idea, as is his vision and as is what you're called to do. And so, you know, over the course of this series, I'm going to really, you know, hone in on how to help you wrap up 2024 really on the path that is the most important path that you can be on. And whether that is, you know, you're at the beginning of the path and you have no idea what your purpose is, or you're far down the path and now you need to know what's next, right? Because I can tell you that wherever you are on that path to purpose, God has something greater than what you think it is, right? God has increase. God has things that he has ordained for you to do in union with him that blow your mind. I have never, ever sat down with Jesus and had asked him, okay, what is the goal that you have for me next? And it not been something impossible. And I'm not kidding. Like literally, God puts impossible goals in front of our path. Why? Because we have to depend on him to accomplish them. And he gets the glory out of those impossible goals. But unfortunately, many of us never, ever leave the boat. Many of us never step out into the unknown because we are afraid. There's a lot of things that keep us in a version of our life that is not the one that God has planned for our lives. I mean, I could name 10 things right now, and I'm assuming that we'll talk about those over the course of this series. You know, beloved, whatever it is, you know, whatever the reason why, you know, whatever the reason is that you don't know that impossible thing that God has called you to do, or you don't know that next impossible goal that God is setting for you and the fulfillment of your purpose, I want to tell you, God is right there with you, in you, and God wants you to know your purpose and know the things that he designed you to do and the goals that he has set for you way more than you do. So I'm going to wrap up today with another, I'm just going to read a word. I brought it up this morning. I didn't know if I was going to start with it or finish with it, or if I was going to read it. But this is a word back from 2020. Oh my goodness. From 2020. And I just want to read a little bit of this word. And I think it's really incredible because obviously COVID was in 2020 and, you know, we didn't know any of those things, but I think it's a pretty cool word. And I want to read some of it to you. It says 2020 is going to be the year of mastery, the mastery of the one thing. This is the year that you are going to actually learn to abide in me. This is not a new word. It's a continuation of the word I gave you for last year, but I'm not finished with the work that I started, and I will not stop until I finish the good work that I've begun. He said, what did I speak over 2019? Was it accomplished? Was it completed? And really, the word in 2019 was really about learning to abide in your true identity and learn to live out of who you are in Christ, right? And so he says this, was it accomplished? Was it completed? He said, so many of my kids are going from word to word, thing to thing, person to person, teaching to teaching, ministry to ministry, conference to conference, looking for the next thing. But that's not how I work. I'm patient. I will wait thousands of years if that's what it takes to see my word fulfilled. He says, the generation entering into 2020 is an instant gratification generation. And the decades leading us here have created an instant gratification church. But I'm shaking the foundations, especially in the West. I'm shaking everything that can be shaken. I will have my way with my bride. So if you want to know what I'm speaking over 2020, start with what I said in 2019. Take some time to go back and really let it sink in. And again, it was all about learning to live and abide out of your true identity. He says, then don't be so quick to go from thing to thing to thing to thing. Abiding is all about a state of being. It is all about learning to live in the present moment. It's about staying awake to my presence and learning to flow and be led by me. And then he says this, who is building your life, you or me? Who is fulfilling your purpose, you or me? What goals are you pursuing, yours or mine? I really want all of you. I want to live my life through you every moment of every day. I want you to remain in me. I want you to stay connected to my voice. I want you to follow my instructions. I want to accomplish my will through you. I want to release my kingdom, heaven, through you. So what does that mean practically? It means death to independence, death to living under the influence of anything but me. That's right. I want you to live under my influence at all times. When people talk about being under the influence, it normally means they're not in the right mind. But when I talk about being under the influence, I'm talking about staying in your right mind, my mind. I want to influence your thoughts, your feelings, your choices, every aspect of your life. And he says, what I always want for Christmas is more of you. This isn't about a new word. This isn't about setting new goals. It's about surrendering to such a degree and allow to such a degree that my life flows through you to such a degree that you can no longer discern where you end and where I begin. It's about experiencing perpetual communion and perfect union with me. And if it takes the next 20 years to learn, then so be it. Why? Because this is the key to living a successful life. Abiding in the vine is how fruit is produced. It's not about achieving more goals in some independent manner. It's not about striving. It's not about toil. It's about me living my life in and through you. And when this happens, heaven will manifest and I will use you to accomplish my agenda. Will you accomplish goals? Yes, absolutely. Impossible goals that you thought were not possible. However, none of that will define you. Your definition will solely be rooted in your union with me. So beloved, there's a lot that I could say about that. And that's probably where we're going to hop off next week. But actually next week is Thanksgiving. We won't have a podcast next week. So the week after that. But let me say this. True success is found in finishing the work that God has called you to do. And the only way that we can do that is by living out of our true identity. And the only way that we can do that is by abiding in the vine. It's by knowing who we are in Christ. And so this process of hopping onto the path to true success and staying on the path to true success is a journey of transfiguration. It is one where the Christ in you is revealed to you and then revealed through you. And as that happens, guess what? You will do the works that God has preordained for you to do, and you will get on and stay on the paths that he prepared ahead of time for you to walk in them so that you can be like Jesus and get to the place, you know, whenever the end of your life is, and say the same words that Jesus did and tell the Father that I have glorified you here on earth and I have finished the work that you've given me to do. So, beloved, that's kind of the introduction to this series. And so I'm excited about it. I want you to grab Jesus's hand and let's walk down this path to true success together over the next several episodes. And let's trust God, right? Let's trust God that we are going to end this year more aligned, more clear, and on the path that He has ordained for us, abiding in Him like never before, aware of His presence like never before, leaving the world system of toil and striving and, you know, just working for a paycheck to make ends meet, and following Jesus into our destiny, into the fulfillment of the things that He has created us to be and to do, and committed to surrendering to Him to such a degree that He is doing miraculous things through you, things that you never thought were possible. And I'm excited for it. And I know that it's going to be an awesome series. So can't wait to see you on the next episode. Until then, God bless you. And let us know what we can do to support you. We will see you really soon. Have a happy, happy Thanksgiving. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalisa.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalisa.com and watch Shalisa's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.